beautiful people. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the program. Stokely and Josh, we rock with you 10 to 2, and grateful you're rocking with us. Appreciate you joining the show. We got a ton to get into today with a Nuggets victory is where we're going to start. But Brandon Stokely, how are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Another beautiful day here.
Yes,
Josh.
It is.
Perfect. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Any skating in your future today?
Yeah, that's why it's a beautiful day.
There you go.
A little skate session
happening a bit later. I can tell you got a little pep in your step today.
Oh, you can tell, huh?
Yeah, a little smile. You're glowing.
Yeah.
It's like he's got something going on, probably a little skating in the afternoon.
Yep. I got to admit, I was about 40% yesterday. So I'm back. I feel better. I feel more like myself.
Because of the long weekend.
Real long weekend. And, you know, Vegas will get you sometimes.
That's right.
Vegas will get you. But I feel good today.
I love it. I love it. You know who else feels good is Jokic and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
That was a good win. A lot more difficult than I think we expected.
Mm-hmm.
But Jokic did his thing again.
He did.
And if guys could, you know, make wide open shots, he would have had another triple double. But of course, every time I place my hard earned money on triple doubles and I'm locked into the game, these guys can't make a dang shot.
Yep.
Wide open shots. So, you know, you can't get a triple double if your guys aren't making buckets for you, right? It's hard to get to assist.
Yeah.
And so, but he had a great game, obviously.
42.
16 rebounds. 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, just a dominant performance.
3 dunks, one of which was on Wimby.
Yeah, all in the same quarter, I think.
Yeah, it was the first quarter.
That was what a great performance by him. So it's no Jamal Murray. That's another big storyline. I know we'll get into it. But overall, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, watching the other games that was going on, you know, Embiid returned.
He did.
Philly was playing OKC at home. So pulling for Philly there, they were able to win that game. Mm-hmm. So OKC lost, Nuggets won. All good news last night for the Denver Nuggets.
Yes, it was. It was great news. You know, first time maybe in our Nugget Nation life that we're like, let's go Joel Embiid.
That's right.
Get it done for us over here in the Mile High City. And he delivered on that, beating the Thunder, as you mentioned. I want to talk about Wimby and Joker just for a second. The matchup itself, it was awesome. Because there's a ton of hype around it, Stoke. That's the league MVP going up against the league's rookie of the year and a phenom of a young player that's going to be a star in this league. And they were both up for the dang challenge. They were both up for the battle to go against one another. That dunk after Nikola had it, they're at the free throw line, and he's smiling, and they're jawing back and forth, all in good fun, of course. But the defensive effort is usually there for Victor Wembanyama, but I felt like it was a bit amplified yesterday, knowing that he was playing Nikola Jokic. That was one of my bigger takeaways, Stoke. I was just like grateful that they were as down to compete as I was to watch them compete. They were up for the challenge last night to guard one another.
Yeah. Gotta turn the on button on. Goodness, that's not a good way to start the show.
Four minutes.
Goodness gracious. Wow. Okay.
That
regroup
might be
here.
A record.
He almost, you know, I think it is. He almost had that quadruple double we were talking about.
Yeah, how about that? We talked about it yesterday. It almost happened.
And it almost happened. He had 9 blocks and 8 assists to go with 15 rebounds and 23 points. Look. He's a very talented player, obviously, and he's having a really good rookie season. But I will say this. Every time I watch him play, it's him shooting the ball, it seems like, 100 times, and his teammates just passing it to him every single time, and him just jacking up shots.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I get it. I mean, look at his stats. 9 for 29.
Ooh.
2 for 11 from 3.
Oh.
Right? So it's like, okay, he's long. He's a good player,
mm-hmm.
but man, I'm just like, okay, the guy is shooting the ball every stinking time because he's on an awful team and they don't care.
Oh.
That's all they're trying to do is pass it to him and he just jacks up shots. So it's look, good player, but I'm not ready to say that he's going to be, you know, one of the all-time greats like a lot of people are thinking. He's still got a ways to go here.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. I'm not ready to crown him, right? The next big man, but he's got so much potential. If the Spurs ever figure out how to put anything around him, which, you know, I've got some sports hate in my heart. I'm not rooting for that because that keeps Greg Popovich around for a very long time. But what he was able to do and what he's shown here as of late, he is one of 4 players, Stoke, since the All-Star break to average 25 and 5 rebounds, assist points. It's Luka, it's Nikola, it's Embiid, it's Giannis, and it's Victor Wembanyama. That's who's been that great post All-Star break. But he still has a ton of work to do. I mean, he weighs what this pin weighs that I'm holding in my hand. So he actually defended Joker a bit better, like physically, than I thought he was. But there was a moment in the third quarter where Joker had that spin move and he got the momentum going with that elbow. And dude, if that was a boxing match, that'd have been a standing eight count for Victor Wembanyama. He literally went down to the ground and was holding his rib cage as Joker spun by him and hit a layup. So he's got to bulk up a bit for sure.
Yeah, it's obviously, look, he's a rookie, still a young basketball player, and so he's having a really good rookie year. But you know, I'm just saying, when I watch him, you know, there's still like any rookie, there's room for improvement there, and I'm sure he will improve a lot, learn the NBA game. There's a lot, you know, coming from overseas and trying to just learn the NBA game and everything else that comes with, you know, moving to a different country. He's handled it pretty well, but overall, nice win for the Nuggets. They're in first place in the West right now. Half a game up on Minnesota and Oklahoma City Thunder. So that is good news. You're in a good spot right now to hopefully finish off strong and have that number one seed. I want the number one seed. You know, some people don't care. It's all about health. But hey, that's fine. But not for me. I want the number one seed, and I think it's important. And hopefully we can get that. Plus health. We can do both, can't
we? Right. Let's get us a team that can do both.
Right. We can be healthy and have the number one seed. Obviously, that would be ideal for me.
Yeah. I'm up for getting greedy. I am certainly up for getting greedy. By the way, just one more note on Victor. He also just turned 20 years old 2 months ago. So the guy is figuring out NBA, figuring out life in a new country, and probably like living on his own for the first time. You know, there's a lot that goes into that for a young dude.
Certainly, there is. I mean, he's just 20. Yeah. That's unbelievable, playing at the highest level.
You guys don't even like moving cities. You know, that's a big pain in the butt for you athletes, you know? So
yes, that is true. Imagine moving across
countries,
the country.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's not living by himself, Josh.
Oh, he's the guy like his parents?
I don't know. Somebody, brothers, cousins, parents, somebody, wouldn't you think?
He just rented Greg Popovich's basement.
Maybe so. Like, might be living with Greg.
Down there.
Greg! Meatloaf!
I feel like it's a thing in hockey, right? Hockey, young hockey guys will come live with older hockey dudes for like a half a season or a season. That's like about the only sport that happens in.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Would you go be like Peyton Manning's roommate when you were a young football player?
Yeah, sure.
Well, okay.
If that was an option.
I was going to say, would Peyton want you to be his roommate as a young football player?
Of course he would.
He would.
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
No doubt about it, right?
That's right.
All right, we're off and rolling. Nuggets get the win last night. They've got a couple in a row now after stubbing their toe, but six straight games without Jamal Murray. How worried are you? And do you want to chase that one seed? Or, as Stoke mentioned, is it all about health? That's the first question we're asking you on the RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043 to answer and respond right there. All right, the bad news Rockies, they did it again. Tough loss, couple bad plays that fans are talking about more than the game itself. We'll tell you what little league mistake was made by our big league team last night. Coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
She's gonna break soon. With so many problems in her life, it really comes as no surprise that she's gonna break soon, she's gonna break.
Yeah, and she is the Rockies, and she may have already been broken, Stoke. They lose again last night to the Cubs. What was this final? 12-2, I think it was. I gave up on that thing in the fifth inning once the...
You watched some of it?
I did, dude.
Oh my gosh.
I can't.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I can't get enough right now.
Oh, it's so bad, it's actually good.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I am now watching for them to ruin things, to make the simple little mistakes that they seem to have made in about four of the six games that they have played. So, yeah, they lose 12-2 last night. It's a late two-run shot last night for the Colorado Rockies that even got them on the scoreboard from Toglia. It was bad again. Kyle Freeland got a second start after a terrible outing on opening day of the season and was just absolutely brutal again. 3 1/3, gave up 9 hits, 7 earned runs. Stoke, at one point in the third inning, he forgot to cover first base.
What did he do?
So he pitched the ball, a little roller to the right side of the infield where, you know, at 6 years old, they teach you if the ball's slow rolling to that side, even if it's rolling to that side, you take a step in that direction to see if the first baseman or second baseman or whoever is fielding the ball needs you to cover the bag. He didn't even take a step in the direction. Then turned around, realized that the runner was going to beat everyone to first base, tried to get there, and obviously didn't. A couple more things. That one now has an ERA of 27, by the way, for Kyle Freeland. Britton Doyle, at one point in this game, decided to dive for a ball in center field, missed it. It rolled behind him. We've seen that the other night. And Ryan McMahon also lost a pop-up in the lights right after he yelled, "Got it!" It hit him in the glove and bounced onto the ground. Those things all happen before I turned the game off in the fifth inning.
Wow. I did see Doyle in center field. The ball was like, I don't know, looked like it was 10 feet in front of him, 15 feet in front of him, and he tried to dive for it.
Yeah, he did.
And he came up 5 feet short, like you would expect, and the ball bounces over him into, and then it went to the center field wall, and one of the other outfielders had to go get it. I mean, this is comedy hour. That's what it is. I am so glad I tapped out and took the cash out on my bet with Bearcat Jim.
Yeah, right call,
I,
man.
Oh, my goodness. That might be one of the best moves I've ever made in my life. It's absolutely pitiful watching them. I mean, it is JV, minor league. It is it's Pop Warner stuff is what we're watching. It's comedy hour. And you're right. You, the only way you watch them now and put yourself through that is to laugh and see what kind of screw-ups they're going to. They can't catch pop flies. They can't field ground balls. They can't pitch. They can't hit. They can't do anything. Josh, Kyle Freeland's first two starts of the year is historically bad. We haven't seen this bad of a opening two games for a pitcher in 111 years for a lefty.
Wow.
To start the season.
111.
111, Josh. historically bad. So
Rose still had that giant necklace back then.
What?
From the Titanic?
Oh, Rose.
She still had the heart of the ocean
exactly.
on her neck when that was happening.
Exactly. Probably could give another 50 years after that. So he's been so bad.
111 years.
Yeah. First two starts, highest ERA by a lefty to start a season. So it's just, man, it is, like you said, it's almost like that car wreck that you're like, you're driving by and you just got to watch it. Mm-hmm. And that's the Colorado Rockies, unfortunately. But I'm not doing it to myself. I'm free and clear of all my Rocky action. So I got nothing invested in them. They won't take any life from me this year. I'm just not going to let it happen. So I'm just happy and relieved that I don't have any investment in the Colorado Rockies this year, because it's as bad as we've ever seen.
And it's weird because I feel that same way. But I'm more invested than I've been in 10 years. Not 10. Let's call it 5 years. And I don't know why. It's because of that. Like, I have to see how bad it is. I'm laughing out loud at my house when Kyle Freeland's looking over at first base and no one's there. I'm laughing out loud when Britton Doyle is looking like me in the softball media league, diving for three balls and they're going right behind me and I feel like a you-know-what.
Yep.
Like, I'm laughing out loud as a... what's supposed to be one of their better players. And Ryan McMahon is saying, "Got it." And the ball hits his glove and then falls onto the grass. Like, it is comedy hour with the Colorado Rockies. And they are a professional baseball team that can get 36,000 people to come watch them at a time when it's beautiful here in Denver, Colorado.
Well, I think that's the question is, you know, what does it look like this year? From a fan's perspective, from attendance perspective, like what do those numbers look like compared to the last 3 or 4 years? Will it be the same? Will it be more? Will it be less? You know, will people just finally have had enough and say, you know what, just not going to do it to myself? Like, why would I waste my time? I get it's you know, Coors Field, whatever, but eventually, I think that's going to happen here. If you continue to put out such a bad product, this isn't just a bad product. This is like some of the worst baseball you've ever seen in your life product.
Yeah.
We're talking about routine ground balls to the left fielder, going under his glove, scoring three runs in a 0-0 game in like the seventh inning 2 days ago. Like, how does this happen? You know, can't catch pop flies right to him. They don't cover first base. They can't pitch, can't get guys out. I mean, this is, and that's your ace.
Yeah.
That's your ace. So will people finally have had enough and get fed up and say, you know what, man, I'm just going to go take a walk. I'm going to go take a stroll. I'm going to go, to the park.
Yeah, get your outside time somewhere else.
Right. I'm just going to go to the bar. You know, like, I mean, instead of wasting your money, right?
Yeah.
You're going to do something else. I just think that you're going to start to see that a little bit. And that's how bad it is. Like, you're going to see people finally have had enough here.
Yeah, and I think it feels like this more, it's amplified. This year, it's more amplified of, there's always that, the group of Rocky fans, I don't go to games, I'm going to protest and all that, and it's never worked. And you know what? It never will. But it's like the media outpouring. There's not a single outlet right now that's defending the Colorado Rockies. And you know what, Stoke? Even including their own, because their broadcast team is now directed and produced by Major League Baseball. It's on a team-owned entity thing right now. So I've even heard them say some things about how bad this opening week has been for the Colorado Rockies. So it feels like there's more frustration in the city when it comes to the Colorado Rockies. But I saw this last year. I saw them start a little slow. Weather wasn't great. We dealt with some rain and crap, and nobody's going to go to the ballpark unless it's beautiful. But then once the calendar turns into June, those tickets start to sell, my man, because it is a great spot to be. I'm really curious to see how this thing plays out this year.
Do you think it stays the same or it goes down?
I think it stays the exact same. We're all frustrated right now. And look, if you want to call me a part of the problem, go ahead. But I'm going to go. I'm going to go to a few games, not to watch the Rockies. And to be honest, I don't even go there to watch baseball, man. I go there to hang out with my girl, to hang out with the buddies and have a couple of drinks, hot dogs, high five, and leave in the seventh inning. Like, that's what it's more about. And I think there are about 30,000 people a night that feel the same way I feel.
Yeah, we'll see. If that's what you want to do, you know, if that's who you are and Rockies fans, you want to go watch a bad product, okay, you know, go for it. So it's I'm not about to protest. It's just eventually it's got to be a better product on the field. And that's the problem, is there's no light at the end of this tunnel here. Mm-hmm. And there's not like four or five guys you can look at and say, all right, we're going to build around these guys. And they had such a good team four or five years ago. And now we're sitting here and it's just, it has changed so much. It's depressing.
Yeah.
It's gone from like, okay, people were actually picking the Rockies to win the World Series before the season started, you know, 5-6 years ago. And then now they can't even catch a pop fly right to them or field a ground ball or get an out as a pitcher. I mean, it's not even close. They're so incompetent. It's a disgrace to baseball.
It is. It is. Here's a text from a fan from Florida. It's Gilbert, who lives up in Broomfield but is a Rays fan. I'm going to my first Rockies game since I've lived here, since 2022. I'm really excited to go, but I'm a Rays fan. And that's who they're playing for the opening week. And that's great. Fans like Gilbert in Broomfield, go get you a cheap freaking ticket and go watch the team you like and root for them at the opponent's ballpark. That's what Coors Field
is. You see a lot of that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs come to town, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, whatever the case may be. The big brands that people around here don't get to see a lot, and their fans turn out in a big way.
So this is a good one. You're going to like this, Stoke. Even Shohei's interpreter doesn't want any action on the Rockies.
Wow. Pretty good.
Nice work there on the RamosLaw.com text
Take
line.
Take the action on whoever they're playing.
There you go.
He wouldn't have lost $4.5 million.
That's right. You know what the beauty about opening day is? Baseball doesn't matter then either. And that's where we're going to be hanging out Friday for opening day. All about the party in the downtown atmosphere environment. So come kick it with us Friday at our home opener party live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver. It's right across the street from Coors Field. Can't miss it. And we're going to walk you up to first pitch. Stoke and I, then Zach and Phil on the drive. We're going to keep the party going until 6. We have an awesome special prize to give away. And it's going to be before the game, so you need to be at El Patio Denver. Come say hello to us and ask how you can win that special prize. Have to be present to do so. Make sure you come and find us at the rooftop this Friday at El Patio Denver.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What's going on, mama?
Something just dawned on me. I ain't been home in some months.
What you doing?
Been chasing songs and women, making some bad decisions. God knows I'm drinking too much.
All right.
Big trade in the NFL today, so.
It's going down. It's going down.
I'm a little worried about Houston, honestly.
Yeah?
At the other end of this deal. The Bills and the Texans made a trade today. Stephon Diggs is no longer in Buffalo. He is out. His brother got his wish. His, remember Stephon, or what's his brother?
No, I don't even
plays
know.
For the Cowboys. Yeah. Kept tweeting about how you got to get him out of Buffalo, all that good stuff and all the nonsense. Trayvon, there you go. Has been back and forth with Josh Allen, and it is official today. Stephon Diggs will join the Houston Texans, and the Texans are going to send over some draft capital, and it's basically a, hey, it's time for you to go from Buffalo for Stephon Diggs and goes to Houston. That was my first thought and reaction is, oh, that scares me a little bit for who C.J. Stroud is, that young locker room, young first-time head coach. But, man, they did a lot of good things in year number one. Stoke, should I be worried about the Stephon Diggs effect in the Houston Texans locker room, or will the honeymoon phase be long enough for them to kind of get right and figure it all out?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, it seems like he's good for a few years, and then after that, just like he gets wears out his welcome a little bit, mm-hmm. and gets tired of people, and becomes a big problem. So it's I look at this trade and you say, okay. The Bills are trying to reset a little bit here. And you look at Stephon Diggs, and obviously a really good receiver. But, you know, he is 30 years old, okay, going to be 31 coming up.
Okay.
And you look at how much money he's making and some of the issues he has caused over the last couple years for Buffalo. And you just say enough's enough. You're trying to get your cap in order, and you're going to go younger and try to find the next Stephon Diggs. And this is more of a Josh Allen team now, and that's what it signals to me. You're looking at Stephon Diggs, he's not quite the same player that he was 3 years ago, making a lot of money, causing some issues. All right, we're ready to turn the page on that era and go younger and get our cap a little bit in order and in a better situation there moving forward. So it's I think it's one of those moves where you look at it, it's like at first it's a little bit of a head scratcher, but then when you take a step back, it's like, okay, hey, this is the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hold on to these guys forever. And sometimes a change is necessary, and they're making a move here. And not getting a lot in return, really.
No. The exact exchange is a 25 second round pick for Diggs.
So next year.
Yeah.
Next year's draft, second mm-hmm. round pick.
Next year's draft. And the Texans are getting a couple draft picks back as well as Stephon Diggs. So it is a good trade if it works and that honeymoon phase works with the Houston Texans. But, man, I just feel like it's only a matter of time before he wears out his welcome because that's what he has done his entire NFL career. So that was my first thought about it. And then you dive into it a little bit and you go, man, that's now you're looking at the Texans as that's going to be a dangerous, dangerous team in the AFC if this works out the right way. Then the other side of that coin is, what the heck's going on in Buffalo? They've lost two starting wide receivers, a starting safety, a starting cornerback. I believe their starting center decided to go elsewhere as well. Like, Stoke, is at the point where we can put the Texans into the spot where we thought the Bills belonged in the AFC pecking order?
Certainly. I mean, look, with C.J. Stroud, the way that he performed his rookie year, and now the additions around him, they already had a couple good receivers there. And now you put Stephon Diggs, and they've added some other free agents just on the defensive side and the offensive side.
They got Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter coming off the edge there. So they're a young football team. They got money to spend because of the rookie contract there for C.J. Stroud. And they're doing a good job of putting some additions there to help their young quarterback. And you see what they did last year, you would think that they're going to take another step forward. This year, looks like the Bills, they're trying to reset. I mean, eventually, like, guys are getting older. They're making a lot of money. Okay, hey, we have got to try to get our house in order, our cap situation in order, and go a little bit younger, go cheaper. And, hey, all right, Josh Allen, you know, you got to carry a little bit more of the burden here. And now we got to go out there and kind of retool and rebuild this team again. But certainly you look at the Texans and like, all right, that team's for real. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what Stroud looks like in year two. And Diggs, how much does he have left in the tank, right? And what question. Is the situation there? I think he's getting older. obviously. He's going to be 31 this year. And, you know, does he wear out his welcome there? What kind of teammate will he be there? And I think the older you get, maybe if you lose a step or two, maybe that humbles you a little bit also.
Okay.
If you're a guy like Stephon Diggs. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But I think early on, especially, just like him and Josh Allen, the first couple of years, it was perfect.
Yeah.
The honeymoon, right?
They looked unbeatable.
And then something just went, something was off there. So I think he'll be fine in Houston.
Let me ask you a personal question about your playing career here. I don't think I've ever asked you this or any athlete this. Did you have a moment, like you just hinted at Stephon, did you have a moment where you're like, maybe even it's just to yourself, or you're telling Lana, like, I don't have that first step, you know, off the ball that I used to have. I don't have that, you know, swivel of the hips the way that it used to be. Like, did you feel that, or was it like, oh, no, man, I'm the freaking slot machine. I'm Brandon Stokley, baby. Let's go.
I felt good, man. I felt like I, you know, I felt good all the way until I was done.
Okay.
So it was just the injuries, you know, that kind of got me. But I, like, my year here, when I was 36, 2012, my last year here, I mean, I felt as good as I did, you know, 10 years before.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
But there were some years that you just couldn't stay healthy. You felt beat up.
Okay.
But I always felt like I was explosive and quick off the line of scrimmage, and I didn't lose that, even when I went to Baltimore the following year. But it was just the injuries that was a killer for me.
Okay. I heard Aqib talk about it in his decision to retire, and it's always kind of stuck with me when he was talking about Bill. Belichick had made a call to him and said, hey, we're interested in bringing you back, maybe. A one-year deal, you know, you're a veteran guy, see if you can. And Aqib said, for 1 second after Bill called and basically made the offer, I doubted myself. For 1 second, I thought, I don't know if I have it. And Aqib said, for that reason, I'm retiring from the NFL. And I thought that always, like, stuck with me of, like, wow, he knew, like, that, of, like, nah, I'm not the same as who I was before.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had a rough year there, my last year in Indy in 2006, and I kept getting injured. Finally came back, and I wasn't playing very well either, and missed a lot of time late in the season, and I tore my Achilles, and then I thought I was done. I thought I was done playing football because I wasn't playing very well before that, and then lo and behold, I ended up in Denver, and I ended up playing, you know, another, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. So it's... It's tough. It's tough because of the injuries that happen the older you get. So we'll see with a guy like Stephon Diggs. There's a lot of wear and tear on his body, right?
Yeah.
You look at his stats. I mean, he's had 4 straight years of over 100 catches. So he's had a lot of targets, a lot of catches, a lot of yards. And that takes its toll on your body. So usually when you get to 30, 31, that's kind of when you see a drop-off, especially guys like that. Like, I was fortunate. I mean, my first 4 years, I didn't play a lot of games, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then my next 4 in Indy, you know, played a lot more, but there were some games where, you know, I'd play 2 plays. We just went a lot more 2 tights and 2 receivers and didn't go with 3 receivers. So I was fortunate to kind of go into a role for me that was, you know, where I didn't have the wear and tear.
Yeah.
Game in and game out, practice in and practice out that a starting outside receiver did.
Plus, you guys had, like, the OG load management, where you were up by 30 in the fourth quarter and just hung out on the sidelines.
Exactly. Exactly. But our practices were like games.
Oh,
in
really?
Indy.
Because of Peyton?
Yeah, because of Peyton. They were like games.
Yeah.
I mean, I would wake up, seriously, I would wake up on Friday mornings after Thursday practice, and I would feel like I played in a game.
Oh, my gosh.
We would practice for 2.5 hours, and it's full pads, and you finished the practice with the 2-minute drill. Which is, you know, like, you know, it's like, okay, here we go. And I'd wake up the next day and I felt like I just played in a game. And so it is, and I'm jealous of these guys now because everything has changed so much. But that's what made that team and that offense so good was how we practice, and it started with Peyton, and then it was Marvin and Reggie.
That's right. Stoke also had to walk to school uphill in snow without shoes both ways.
I did, yes.
All right, quick timeout. We want to hear from you on the text line.
In
Louisiana.
Yeah.
Even we're running from alligators.
That's right.
Uphill with all that stuff going on. How do you feel about it? Houston made a huge upgrade, or is it going to cost them in the long term? Tell us at 303 713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. We'll catch up there. Want to get into a couple things we learned last night. We know Minnesota is looking for a quarterback, and they have more to offer than the Broncos. Is there another team that Denver's going to have to battle to jump into that top 10 who also might have more to offer? Who is it? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so we know Minnesota is a problem for the Denver Broncos if they're looking to move up and go get their quarterback in the 2024 draft that starts here in just a few weeks. But is there another team out there? It's an arch rival, an enemy of the Denver Broncos that could get in the way. Well, Ian Rappaport was on NFL Network talking about the battle to get inside the top 10, and he mentions the Raiders as a problem as well. Let's take a listen to Ian.
There could be some fireworks here. You guys talked about the potential of going quarterbacks as the first four picks. That is very possible. And if that happens, though, it's going to mean there is a trade and potentially a trade from a team outside the top 10. We already know the Minnesota Vikings are a potential trade-up team for a quarterback when they acquired that extra first-round pick after that fascinating trade with the Houston Texans over the last several days. That spotlighted them as a potential move-up team. And I wasn't so sure that the Denver Broncos were one of those teams. And I asked Sean Payton, would he consider them to be a realistic team to move up? And he said, absolutely. He does consider them a team potentially to move up. Could be from 12 up to 4 or maybe 5. We will see where the fourth quarterback goes, but I would keep my eye on both these teams and the Raiders as well.
You hear that right there at the end, and the Raiders as well. It felt like to me, at least most of the stuff I've been reading, Stoke, is that the Raiders, and this could all be a lie because that's that time of the year, have some interest in Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, if that was the interest, if you're willing to take him at 13 where the Raiders land, well, he would be there for you to take at 13. But maybe now with this report, it's all been a smokescreen about Michael Penix Jr. and they're in on one of those top four quarterbacks that Rappaport's talking about there.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Raiders, you look at their quarterback situation, and right now they have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. That's it. So I don't think they really believe that Aiden O'Connell is their next quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years, or Minshew. So what does that mean? You're going to be in the quarterback market in the draft. So might not be a first rounder, you know, could be a later quarterback, but I think for sure they're drafting a quarterback. And if you're in their situation, you have a first-year head coach that just took over. You know, he took over last year, was the interim coach, and a new general manager there. Like, this is the time to do it. If you love one of those guys and he's around, you definitely could see the Raiders making a play for a quarterback in this draft, whether it be moving up or staying put, like you said, if they love Penix Jr., or taking one later in the draft. I would say that you're probably going to see them do it in the first round.
Yeah.
Just makes more sense. I mean, they overachieved this year.
The Raiders.
The Raiders did. Josh McDaniels, disaster. Interim coach Antonio Pierce comes in, and they played good football for him. Mm-hmm. Their defense was stingy. They added Christian Wilkins to that defensive front to go with Mad Max. So they're doing some things. The one big piece that they're missing is the quarterback. You got a couple nice receivers there in Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. Got a nice young tight end. It's one of those things. You look at their rosters, like, okay. I mean, you start looking at it and, like, says, we need a quarterback. So I would expect them to be in the market to get one of those first-round quarterbacks.
I was thinking about this after I heard the Rappaport report last night about this and the Raiders being interested. And then I keep thinking about the Giants, man, and where they're at and if they're in play for a quarterback.
Absolutely they're in play for a quarterback.
So?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so and that's kind of where my brain's at too. So then I start thinking about, well, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, Minnesota getting up to 4 in most cases, right, most mock scenarios. And then that leaves the Giants, the Raiders, and the Broncos reportedly now wanting quarterbacks with Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. as your options. So, hypothetically, go with me here. The Giants take Bo Nix. The Raiders get worried, right? Oh, my gosh, there's one left. And what about the Broncos? What's going to happen? We hate to see our AFC West enemy go get Michael Penix Jr. So then they trade up into the top 10. We get to the Broncos on the clock at 12, and the ticker's going down on ESPN, and we're waiting for Roger to go up there and make the call, and there's not a quarterback to be selected. How real do you think that scenario is?
Oh, it's a real scenario, certainly, because quarterbacks are very valuable, and they're overdrafted. So a lot of teams need quarterbacks. You're trying to find that young quarterback like a C.J. Stroud. Rookie deal, you can spend money on a lot of other positions, and those guys save jobs. Those guys give you promotions, extensions, and get and that's what these quarterbacks do for you. Right, they cover up all your mistakes as an organization. So you're trying to find one of them, and if you don't have one, it's hard to win. Right, we know that. So you look at the scenarios and how it could break out and shake out. We've heard and we've talked about it. So you go, say you go quarterback 1, 2, 3. Cardinals are sitting at 4. Giants are sitting at 6. Cardinals could trade it at pick, or you know. There's been a couple out there that have the Cardinals taking a quarterback, right? Yeah. And then shipping Kyler Murray off. I don't think they will. I think they'll trade. But you could see a team like the Giants move up from 6 to 4 to get their quarterback,
okay,
right? And now the Cardinals only go back 2 spots, and they're still able to get a legit wide receiver there to help Kyler Murray if they decide to go that route. So I definitely think the Giants are in play for a quarterback. Why? Because they don't have one. You know,
yeah,
it's pretty simple. When you don't have one, you're always in the market for a quarterback. And then you look at the logjam there, Josh, at 11, 12, and 13. Picking at 11 is the Vikings, 12 Broncos, 13 Raiders. All three of those teams are in the market for a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. Who is going to be the aggressor and move up and try to get their pick of the quarterbacks after the first three are gone? And, you know, will those teams even have a chance? Or will the Giants jump in front of them and beat them to the punch and move up and get their guy? So if you get 4 quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, now you have, what, 2 left? Bo Nix. Let's just say Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. Now our team's going to be a little bit more cautious. Hey, we're not jumping up into the, you know, 8th or 9th spot to try to get one of those guys. We'll see who falls to us. And so that's going to be the interesting thing to me. Starting at 4 and moving down, what happens there? Because I do believe you're going to see 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
I do too. And you're right about that race. It's like, how desperate are those teams on the back end for a quarterback? Or how willing are they to, hey, 2024 might not be our year anyway. We're going to not reach and act desperate to go find a quarterback. One quick text. I love this. Coming out of a Washington State texter. Going back to the Stephon Diggs trade. We told him last segment, Stephon Diggs got traded from the Bills to the Texans today. Good way to tie it here locally. Does this mean that the Broncos could trade Cortland Sutton to the Bills for some draft picks?
Interesting. Certainly, the Bills, I think, are in the market right now to add to their wide receiver room. Gabriel Davis left,
I believe. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is gone. I like their young wide receiver that they drafted last year. Let me look up his name real quick. He was a rookie last year. He did a nice job for him. Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
Young receiver, rookie, had 45 targets, 39 catches, 611 yards.
Wow.
So they got a couple nice tight ends there. Dalton Kincaid, that they drafted from Utah the year before, he had a nice rookie season. And I believe Dawson Knox is still there, the veteran tight end. So they're going to be looking to add to that room, certainly, whether it's the draft or free agency. I just don't think the Broncos want to move Cortland Sutton right now.
I feel like they would have made a move. Asked to negotiate salary or trade or release. Yeah, I feel that way too. Like if they didn't want him on the roster, they would have gotten him off the roster by this point, by the time we get to April.
And what could you get for him? I mean, everybody's open. You know, like we're listening.
Yeah.
We're the Denver Broncos. I mean, it's not like Cortland Sutton is a Pro Bowl All-Pro wide receiver.
No.
Okay? So we're listening. If they call, all right, well, what could you get for Cortland Sutton?
4th?
Right, 5th. So, you know, I think you look at the salary cap and the cap savings, and then you look at, well, would we rather just keep him?
Yeah.
And I think you'd rather just keep him this year and because I don't know who's throwing the football. I'd like to have if it's a young quarterback, I'd like that guy to be throwing to Cortland Sutton and not a lot of guys that I haven't heard of.
Okay, that's fair. That's very fair.
But I'm listening. I'm listening.
We're listening on everybody.
That's right.
The business is open. The phones are available to for your other teams to call right now. All right, quarter one in the books. Let's come back, kick off quarter two, looking back at the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic did something to push Carmelo Anthony even further down in the Nuggets record books last night. We'll tell you what he did coming up next.